Hey, let's talk about business that we have a couple of new members on city council.
Okay.
And one of them has a lot of experience and one of them doesn't have any. And you know that feeling of being a newbie on the board. So what's your thought as far as how this new city council is going to work with one another?
Well, we had a couple of meetings already, Scott, and I was pretty refreshed because Ben Hardiman, I thought, would be a little different. And I thought we'd get attacked on the personal, but we didn't get attacked personally. And Ben actually attacked the argument, and I thought that was a little something fresh, and I do appreciate that.
Sure. Well, again, he has a lot of experience. He's been there before, and it's good to draw from that. And I guess that's part of what the dynamic needs to be, that there's discussions that you have outside of council chambers or in executive session where you get a chance to discuss issues before they come out in general public. Tell me what you think the future of that dynamic is.
Well, I know Ben Hardiman has said he's going to reach out to individual council members. He hasn't reached out to me yet, but I do look forward to meeting with him, and I do still plan on meeting with him. So whenever he gives me a call, I'm ready to answer.
Sure. Well, let's talk about what you think this council accomplished in 2015 that you're pleased with.
Well, I think we accomplished a lot of things, Scott. I know parks was a big to-do list on my campaign agenda, and we got $1 million pool coming into Sadie Thomas Park, and that was from the citizens coming to the town hall meetings, to the park and rec meetings, and to the council meetings, and it was a unanimous vote by council. So I think that was a good step in the right direction. But another thing we had passed was the Scurry Park parking. We added 15 parking spaces, and something new coming 2016, we're going to retrofit all the existing light poles with brand new directional LED lighting, and that's coming from the parkland dedication fees in District 2. So we're getting creative with the funding. That's another accomplishment that this council passed, so I thought that was exciting. And one more thing, I think when I first got on council, I had a PowerPoint presentation. We're talking about streets, and the major street I was referring to was O'Hearn Road.
Mm-hmm.
So starting this new year, we're going to widen O'Hearn Road, and we're going to put sidewalks from Wilkes to Wellham, all of Wilkes right there in front of Bottom School. I know that sidewalk is there needed. There's a lot of traffic right when school lets out and right when school lets in. So that's a huge improvement that this council passed, and I'm very grateful for it.
Was that in essence what you wanted to happen to O'Hearn Road?
Absolutely. Widening and having sidewalks, that was the main push behind that. And there's some development starting to come this way on O'Hearn Road because of those infrastructure improvements. So if you build it, they come.
So from that standpoint, are you pleased that this council has responded to what you thought needed to be done in your district?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it didn't, you know, it didn't happen overnight, and I stuck with it. And that's what you have to do. You have to persevere and fight on and have the support of the citizens behind you. And then the council will eventually come over, turn around, and they did that. And so I'm very thankful.
Rafael Pena is here, represents District 2 on Bryan City Council. What are you hearing now from your constituency as to what they want to see happen in your area of the city?
Well, a few things we're still working on. I know Woodville Road is on the radar, getting widened, putting some sidewalks in. Another one is some sidewalks on Sandy Point. And I think we actually met with TxDOT recently, and we reached out to them because I know I put a few items on the agenda to get sidewalks on Sandy Point, but it got kind of shot down. But I don't let that deter me. I go a different route. And the route I did this time was maybe we can get funding from TxDOT. And so we sat down with TxDOT, our engineer, and they said that maybe we can help them. So I think right now we're waiting on some schematics from TxDOT, but I think it's going to go forward.
Okay. So that's basically what's going on in your district. Let's talk about other areas of Bryan. I think Bryan has a tremendous opportunity on the west side. I mean, that's basically land that you've just now decided some of the land use there. As one member of council, what's your vision for what the area around the new Blinn Extended Campus will be across from the Health Science Center and that general area for that part of Bryan?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because something did come to council. They tried to put some trailer parks out there and some mobile homes, so to speak, and we didn't let that go forward because we think we have a better, higher and best use for maybe some homes, a mixed residential. I know that's always good because you get those monies on the tax rolls, and it's just going to increase in value versus decrease in value. So I would see somewhere in the neighborhood between starter homes and 2,200 square foot. I know we have the Home Builders Incentive Program, so if you want to build a 2,200 square foot home, you have those permit fees waived. So if you want to build it, hey, come put some to the board council so we can improve it.
Okay. Anything else over there in particular that you'd like to see?
Well, we have, you know, maybe some new parks. Every time a new subdivision comes in, you have an option of building the park or paying that parkland dedication fee. So I'd, instead of paying that fee, I'd like maybe some new parks out there, because I think we have a short list of parks.
One of the things that was discussed during the last campaign, and we've heard it a lot really since then, and that is, what needs to happen to Texas Avenue within the Bryan city limits? What sort of a plan should be used to revitalize that area? As one member of council, what are your thoughts about Texas Avenue?
Well, Texas Avenue is a hot topic. I know we have some overhanging power line poles that are just kind of not so nice to see, but it's an expensive investment. But I would like to see some underground utilities along Texas Avenue. But as far as business incentives go, I know we talked about maybe incentivizing the businesses to invest in their facades so it looks nicer, and then maybe that to the tune of, I don't know, where we would base some taxes or pay for some of the costs of renovations. I don't know what that looks like, but let's start that discussion.
What would your thought be as far as a locally owned structure and business as opposed to maybe a franchise that's here? Do you see that they should be handled differently?
Well, our mom-and-pop shops are ones who are here to stay, and they've been here the longest, and they employ the local boys and girls. So I would give a little more credence to the mom-and-pop shops versus a franchise, because the franchise is probably going to bring a workforce outside coming in, and mom-and-pops are the workshop. The workforce is here inside the city.
We've finally heard about the developments that are going to take place on the northern end of Main Street, how that's starting to now march away from where we are and expand into a larger area. As one member of council, how do you feel about the development that's been announced there, and what do you think the future is in the near future?
Well, we're hoping, the whole entire council is hoping, that really spurs the development, that Jordan Center. It was a unanimous vote. We approved those incentives for that development. They're going to have parking. That's something that's unique that we need the downtown Bryan. They're going to have that, and we're really hoping that that's going to go forward and really expand the other area. I know the Ice House is being redeveloped, so it's moving along. We got a microbrewery down there, so I'm looking forward to what that development is going to develop on the other lots.
Certainly. You've learned since your time on council that besides the workshops, besides the council meetings, you have to spend time on certain committees, and I think that you were one of the members who expressed a little bit of frustration that you necessarily were not on some of the committees that you would have liked to have been. Kind of flesh that out for me a little bit, and then let's talk about the committees that you think you would be well suited for.
Well, as you know, Scott, I've been fighting to get on this committee since before I was on council, and I thought once I got on council, it changed, and it did change, because I got on one committee, and since being on council, that one committee was the BISD committee, and I did take that to heart, and I liked it, I loved it, so I wanted to continue to be on that, but the mayor recently came to council, and he had his own personal list of who he thinks the other council members should be on different boards, and I didn't necessarily agree with that list, and we didn't have enough time to look at it, to soak it into really vet it, but some of the boards and commissions I'd like to be on, I'd like to be on the BISD committee. I'd like to be on the student liaison to Texas A&M. I know we were researching into that blend committee. I don't think it's no longer there, but I think the staff is going to look into that blend committee, see if we can be on that. I'd love to be on that because I'm a blend student, so it makes sense for me to be on that. And so those are some of the committees I'd like to be on.
And what committees are you on now?
Well, the mayor had a list, and he gave us, I don't know exactly all of them, but the student liaison is one of them. The emergency communications, another one, and I think there's a few more, but I don't really remember. We had our first meeting yet, so TERS, the downtown Bryan TERS.
Okay, I got you. Anything else on your radar screen you want to mention today?
Yeah, I want to talk about tradition, Scott.
Sure.
Because I want to get a little background information. It was started with the Elf Attakam settlement, mm-hmm. and that was from Pinwall, and it got bought up by Elf Attakam. That was like a $4 million settlement. Another thing that we have with traditions is a separate water agreement, and in that agreement, Scott, we have to give $500,000 gallons of water a day, potable and non-potable. And since that agreement, since the inception of the agreement, Scott, we've given over 900 million gallons of water. And that has generated to the tune of about $2 million so far that they don't have to pay for, that we have to pay for. It's a cost to the city. And more than that, Scott, it recently came to our attention that Traditions plans to, in our contract, get a 50-acre land for a dollar. And in our contract, it says we have to gift it to them for a dollar. And that's 50 acres of land. And so I'm like, I can't swallow that, Scott. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put on the agenda in January to cancel the contract, because I don't believe that a city should give up that much money on a development that we can really bank on. And we're going to miss out on a lot of money. We're already missing out on the water. we're going to miss out on another 50-acre tract of land. That's millions of dollars that I think can be better spent in other parts of town or in that TERS, because that's still a TERS.
Well, by lots of measures, though, tradition has been very good for that side of town.
Absolutely. We actually generate about $1.3 million, Scott. So I'm looking forward to the day that we end that TERS early so we can get those monies on the tax rolls, because right now it just stays in that area. And once we dissolve that TERS, those monies go to the tax rolls, and it increases the tax base.
Tell me about the process of dissolving that and canceling the contract.
We pretty much have to pay off the debt. The bond that started, and I think we started with a $17 million bond. I think we're about a little under $8 million left on it. So if we were to pay that off, we'd save millions in interest cost. And then once we pay that off, we would get automatically $1.3 million, and it goes up from there every year.
Do you have any indication that those people won't, in fact, file suit if you try to cancel that contract?
I would assume they would, but there's a couple of things. It's something for legal to understand, but I understand the city has sovereign immunity. And the way Janice explained in executive session, talked about...
Janice is the city attorney?
Well, I can't really go into detail about it, okay. But pretty much I do expect to file suit, but there are some avenues the city can take, and I think... We'll probably discuss that a little bit later, but 50 acres for a dollar. I know we had a 36-acre tract that we sold for $1 a square foot. This is a dollar for 50 acres, and we lost that on like close to $4 million on that last one, so we're missing out way over $4 million on this one.
So are you saying there's one that can be put in place that hasn't started yet, and you want to stop that, or you want to stop everything in place now?
No, that one's already gone through. It's already been approved by council. So what I'm trying to do is stop this from happening, because we're going to be missing out on millions of dollars if we gift that 50-acre tract for a dollar. All these agreements are all on the city website, economic development agreement. You can see all the traditions contracts, the Atlas, the hotel conference center. Please educate yourself, or you can go to 414.org. It's a site I made, so you can really dive into the issues and really get a little background information on it.
That's 414.org?
Right.
Okay, very good. All right, well, and then when are you going to introduce that? When are you going to try to put that on the agenda when?
Soon, early January.
Okay, very good. All right, thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you.
You bet. That's Rafael Pena. He's District 2 of the Bryan City Council.